WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast. CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Now, I realize that this is the fourth Wednesday, and we are actually going to also air this on Friday, where it is the last Friday of the month. So we have Tom Campbell with us, and I always love having Tom. And the last few shows we've been talking about consciousness, we sort of set the stage kind of for this show, because now I have all these questions about all the things in consciousness. We're going to ask why Tom would even know that these are actually happening. But I always love having Tom on the show. He's a wealth of information. Definitely take the time to find out more about Tom if you already haven't. Go to his YouTube site just to, you know, there's hours and hours and hours. And, you know, for all those women that really want to have men move into the spiritual realm, this is definitely one of the ways that men kind of get very interested in spirituality. So definitely, you know, just show them, because there's the science, it's bridging science and spirituality together. It's an amazing mix. You can find out more information also about Tom, because he has a trilogy of books called My Big Toe. So his website is mybigtoe.com, but there's hyphens in between. So my-big-toe.com. All right. So again, welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Lori. It's wonderful to be here as usual. It's yes. Always fun.
And I'm so glad that we were able to make this work. All right. So we've talked about this virtual reality, this world that we're in, the one that we all think is so real. And we also know what the rules of the game are. So the rules are that we're here to grow and evolve. And, okay, so this life ends, or as in the past, a life ended. What happens to us? What do we do before we come back here? Are we planning? Or what are we doing?
Okay. Well, you know, when we talk about death, we have to realize that death is just a local phenomenon. You know, there really is no such thing as death. Just like when you're playing World of Warcraft and your elf dies, you know, it's not that serious an event, right? He gets back up and is back in the game in no time. And that's the way it is here. So there really is no such thing as death, because we are not physical bodies. We're consciousness. Right. And consciousness is a non-physical information system. So what happens when our avatar, our physical body, or our elf, you know, dies in this particular virtual reality we're in? Well, the first thing that you will notice after dying in this reality is that you would begin to gain consciousness, become aware that you're existing in a different reality. Now, most people make the mistake of thinking, oh, well, then this one, the one you go to after you die here, that's the real place. You know, that's the real reality. Now you're home.
Right.
Well, it's actually just another virtual reality.
Oh.
It's not the reality. It's another virtual reality.
But not consciousness, physical.
No, it's not right. Physical. Now, physical is a, well, it is physical to the person who's there. In other words, physical and non-physical are not fundamental at all. They are relative to the observer. So if you are in this, you know, universe that we call physical, it seems physical, but all other reality frames seem non-physical. But if you're in any of those other frames, they seem physical, and this reality seems non-physical. For example, if you're dreaming, that dream frame seems physical. You touch things, you interact with people, you know, you run from monsters, you fall off cliffs, you do all these things, and that seems very physical to you. And this reality, where your body's lying asleep in bed, is non-physical. You don't have any sense data coming from that at all. So physical and non-physical are just relative terms, and they have to do with the observer. Where's the observer? The elf in World of Warcraft, physical in that elf's view, is the map of World of Warcraft. It's the trees and monsters and grass and rocks and buildings and people that are in the World of Warcraft map. And where the server is and the programmers are that program that, that's all non-physical to that elf because it's not in his world. It's not in his universe. It's outside, therefore it's non-physical. So first, let's just, you know, kind of agree that this physical, non-physical thing is really not fundamental at all. And if you are consciousness and if you are experiencing, you're aware, you're able to make choices, you have free will. If you're a consciousness with free will making choices, then you have to be in a virtual reality. There's only, you know, the only thing that is fundamental is consciousness itself. The larger consciousness system is fundamental. Everything else is virtual. So if it's an experiential reality, that means a reality in which you sense, have experience, can make choices, then it's a virtual reality, you see? Mm-hmm. So we go from one virtual reality to a different virtual reality, and that our experience is that we begin to become aware. It's like, oh, you know, where is this? You know, where am I? This doesn't look familiar. You know, it's that kind of a sense you get after passing out of this virtual reality, and you realize you're really someplace else. And at that point, because you don't know what to do and you're probably confused and it's more of a where am I, what's going on, oh no, you know, have I been a good little boy or girl or not, you know, and you're mm-hmm. starting to have these concerns if you are of a religious bent. And in any case, at that point, what'll typically happen is that you'll get a summons, a beckon. It's like move toward the light. You know, you'll feel like you have this intuition that you need to go over here. You know, go into the light. Or if you're kind of an older hand at it, you already know the ropes and you just kind of just wait or just progress and things will suddenly open up to you. The reality that you're entering will just become more and more real. It's like the dream gets more and more convincing and more real until there it is, you know, and it's right in front of you. Depends on what you experience after you die, depends a whole lot on what you come there with. If you come with a lot of fear, then you will experience a different entrance to this reality than if you don't. The point or the purpose that this, we'll just call it the kind of the transition reality, if you will. Right. The purpose of this transition reality is to make you feel at ease, to make this not a traumatic, you know, experience. So it's not, oh my God, what's happening, you know, and you begin to freak out and that sort of thing. That's to be avoided. So you don't have most of those feelings or emotions. Mostly it's just like you're in a dream. And the life you just left begins to fade like a dream. You can still, at the beginning, it's pretty clear, but the longer you're away from it, just like when you wake up from a dream, the longer you're kind of away from it, the less immediate it is, and before long, it's just a vague memory. And that's the way it is when you transition. So I know people don't want to hear that. You know, they want to say, oh, no, you know, my children, my loved ones, you know, I want to have them in my mind always and forever and et cetera, et cetera. And it doesn't work that way. You you lose that like you lose a dream. But it depends on how obsessed you are with it, you know, how focused you are. And if you're very focused on it, then it will hang with you a lot longer. If you're not, then it goes sooner, just like with a dream. You know, you can have dreams that you're very focused in and then very focused on afterwards, and you can still remember them for a long time afterwards. So it kind of depends on the person, the way they come to it. If you're anxious about it, then you'll be met by relatives. You know, Uncle Fred and Aunt Susie will be there, and they'll say, oh, you know, they died, right, already.
Yes.
You know, they're past. They're part of your family that's gone on, and they'll welcome you and say, oh, yes, everything's fine. You life will be great here. Just go on over there. Those people take care of you. And you'll visit for 5 or 10 minutes, and then they'll say, well, we need to go now. We just came here to say hello, and they'll disappear. And, you know, all of that is just the larger consciousness system trying to put you at ease and make you feel better. You know, you'll find out that that's, you know, that's really not Aunt Susie and Uncle Fred as it is. It's an appearance of Uncle Fred and Aunt Susie to make you feel relaxed. Because if they're okay and they're smiling and they're not saying, oh, this is an awful place, you should, you know, you should run, you know, get away. They're smiling and they're happy and they're beckoning and say, everything's fine. Just go over and, you know, go over. You see those people over there? Just go over. That's where you're supposed to be. So then you relax because somebody you know is obviously, you know, very positive and thinks it's wonderful and so on. So then you just kind of wondering, well, I wonder what's going to happen next. And you go over where those people are and, you know, get in line or whatever it is you need to do. And that's kind of the way it is. For the most part, there really isn't much to do there other than, depending on how much time you need to make the adjustment, it, you know, it takes longer or less time just to let you relax and realize that you're now in a different reality. Let the old reality go. And the next step then is to determine, what do you want to do next? Okay, what would you like to do? And sometimes people will say, well, I'm just going to kick back here for a while, you know, and chill out. And they say, sure, okay. But very soon, boredom sets in, and you start feeling like, you know, I really need to get back into doing something. You know, I really need go forward, to progress. And you have this sense of your mission and what it is you're supposed to be doing. At that point, some entities will come along and kind of help you with the process of reintegrating into another life, because you really need these lives in order to make the choices and have the kind of the fast track experience, if you will, to growing up, all the opportunities that you have in a reality that's like our physical universe. It's a very good place to grow up. So that's what happens. And then when that happens, you kind of go and you meet with people. And if you're just, you know, kind of a newbie to this situation, it's a jump in, jump out. You'll just, you know, okay, I'm ready to go back in. All right, let's go. You know, and you'll just kind of get tossed in someplace because you're not at a point where a lot of planning is going to do you much good. You just need experience. Okay. And on the other hand, if you've been around a few times, and there's very specific kinds of experience you need now. Like you have certain issues or certain problems or certain things you haven't dealt with very well, or certain ways that you haven't grown. Then you might want to pick a situation that will particularly challenge you in those areas and maybe give you some of the help and nudging that you need to get over a rough spot in those areas. In that case, it's not so quick. Now, another thing that might happen if you're more into the planning, you'll have a bit of a life review. And it'll be, you know, they'll say, well, you know, you had an anger management problem last time. And, you know, what, you know, how are we going to work on that? And you go, anger management? Me? No. You know, and then they'll show you some episodes out of your, you know, past life and maybe the one before that where you're going bananas with anger management problems. And it's like, oh, yeah, I see that. But, you know, that wasn't my fault, you know. And then they show you a little more, which shows you, yeah, it was your fault, too. And then you kind of say, okay, I think I need to work on anger management. So there's some of that counseling going on as well. So that's kind of a very short short description of what happens. Now, you can feel free to ask me a lot more about this for details if you like. I think we're right on the...
We are
on the 15-minute mark, so I'll just hold my peace here.
Very good. I was just going to say, yes, I do have questions, but we'll go to break first. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tom Campbell. Please take the time to check him out, and just because he has so much there to offer, just days and days of video, and there's a forum where you can ask questions. I mean, there's just so much information that's available, so do check him out. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Can I benefit from cheap tires? It all depends upon your driving habits and the vehicle. This is ASC-certified AutoTech Pam Oakes telling you that there are good, better, and best when it comes to tires. All manufacturers have a low, medium, and high-grade type of tire for cars and trucks. So, when is getting cheaper to your benefit? Are you driving on mountainous terrain? Do you tow a trailer? You would not be a candidate for inexpensive tires. But are there some exceptions? For an example, do you store your vehicle for months at a time? Are you driving your car or truck less than 25 miles a week? You may want to consider saving some dough and going the cheaper route. The real person to make this decision for you is your ASC-certified technician to determine what's right for your vehicle. I'm Pam Oakes, and this has been your Automotive Minute for today. Let me teach you how not to fix your vehicle in the driveway, but how to have your car or truck properly repaired by an ASC-certified technician. CarCareForTheClueless.com, making you a savvy car consumer.
Buzzes fly above the car, circling us as if they knew. If I falter, darling, will you reel me in? And if I lose it, will you remind me where we've been? So we were climbing and how we were climbing the cartoon trees up to the sky. And as the sun dropped off the page, gold it flew into my eye. Well, it's all from here, it's like I can taste opportunity near. I cut myself on barbed wire, getting wood for the fire. I was too busy staring at you, you. Into the night, high above the factories, we hitched a lift on a satellite. And lover, will you spin me round? May we never fall back to ground. When it's all up from here, it's like I can taste opportunity near. I cut myself on by.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Thomas Campbell today. We're continuing our conversation about consciousness, but I find this a really fascinating topic. We're exploring what it is that happens when we leave this physical reality or this virtual reality. And so I guess let's start with, you know, you gave us this very descriptive aspect of what happens. How do you know this?
Okay, well, I have approached it from both ends of the process. One thing that I have done a number of times, probably a dozen or more times, is that if you're with someone who's dying, and I mean with in a non-physical or a mental sense. You don't actually have to be physically with them, though you could be, but it's not necessary. So they could be almost anywhere on the planet, and it would work as well. But if you're with someone who is dying, you can be with them while they're still here in a physical form, and then you can go with them as they make their own transition and experience it from their perspective. In other words, you are seeing and feeling what they see and feel, as well as you're kind of also outside of that and can see it from your own perspective. You just kind of attach yourself to their consciousness so that you're sharing their thoughts. And you can do that, which I've done, like I said, a dozen times or so, following people who have died and gone through their process. And it's a varied process. It's like I say, depending on what you come there with, the amount of fear and the amount of belief that you come there with, then what you experience is going to be quite different. And I've also worked at it from the other end. You know, the larger consciousness system is pretty much like any place else. If you hang around long enough, somebody will grab you and put you to work. Somebody will say, hey, you know, you're not doing anything. Come on over here. I've got something for you to do. And you'll be given a job. And that happened to me, many years ago when I was doing a lot of exploring in the larger consciousness, spent a lot of time there and whatever. And I was given a job in this transition virtual reality, which was kind of the meet and greet and talk to and help people relax and move them on their way. And I was given that job not just because I was available and I always, you always need people to work, but I was being trained too. I was being shown things so that I would understand how processes work. So it was part of my own educational program that I got that. Mm-hmm. So I've seen it go through both ends and how the both ends meet in the middle. And I've worked the transition area with hard cases, people who had very difficult times getting through this transition. And I've watched the easy ones come and go very quickly as well. So I'm just speaking out of my experience with this. This is kind of my own personal experience that, everything is really your own personal experience, right? I mean, right. We are consciousness. Everything is subjective. Our world is really a subjective world, and it's what we know of is based upon our experience. So that's where it comes from.
So these people that guide are not necessarily people that have passed. They could, if you're
No, they could be people who have bodies here who moonlight, have another job, a night job. And they are also we talk about entities. What is an entity?
Right.
Well, anything that we interact with that communicates with us, we define it as an entity. So if we get communication, then that's an entity by definition, because dogs and cats don't talk to us, so we don't really consider them people. People talk. People communicate. People can share thoughts with you. So that's what we do. So if something shares thoughts with us, we get information from a source. That source is automatically an entity. No matter what it really is, that's how we interpret it. And because of our history, where we've just come from, we see all entities as kind of like us. They sort of people-like. They've got a head and eyes in the head and ears and, they've got arms and legs and they walk like we walk. So we kind of define all entities to be as we see ourselves. And that's just our interpretation. That entity could be a talking rock, and we wouldn't see it as a talking rock because that doesn't compute for us. We'll see it as a humanoid kind of thing that we're conversing with, and we'll get some sense of its shape or size or whatever, and we kind of interpret that as well. So first of all, and entities don't have to be like we think of entities. That's us. That's what we bring to the table. So they may just be entities from the larger consciousness system. Now, we are ourselves an entity from the larger consciousness system. We are all one. We're all parts of this larger consciousness system. And if the larger consciousness system needs, to interact with someone, it interacts with information. It exchanges information, gives ideas and forms and shape, all that information can be put out, and we see that and interpret that as a being, as an entity. So that's one thing. So yes, there are these entities that just work there. It's their job, and they get good at their job so that all sorts of people come with fears and issues and beliefs. You know, people who are very religious come with a lot of fear. You know, am I in heaven or hell? You know, this is going to be the judgment. Oh, no. You know, and they have great intrepidation. People who have just died violently or died surprisingly, like in an accident, you know,
right,
just suddenly happened to them, or people who have taken their lives in a suicide, they all come with their own issues and their own emotional obsessions, if you will, with what's just happened to them. And all of these people basically need to be soothed. They need to be said, it's okay, everything's fine, you're here now, this is just what, you know, the way it's supposed to be. And eventually they start to relax. And as they relax, like I say, they let go of that past image. They let go of that dream. It seems like a dream now that they just were in. They've just been in this horrible dream where they got run over by a truck, you know, and it's that kind of stuff. And now they kind of let that go. Oh, okay, that was just a bad dream. And then they acclimate to this reality, and the whole that was their life before starts to fade away. But until they're calm and until they are relaxed, then they can cling tightly to all sorts of things. And the people who are the most obsessed with something, whether it's getting even or whether it's, you know, I don't know, you know, whatever, maybe it's with where they live or their job or their spouse or their child or something that they're very obsessed with, have a lot of focus on, that may take a while. It may not be an easy thing to do to pry them loose from that obsession. Because in their minds, they will create their own reality that focuses around that obsession. And that may be a while. But the people who work there, the entities who work there, are very accustomed to that. And they are very gentle, and they're very reassuring. And eventually, most people, you know, kind of stick their heads up out of their obsession long enough to kind of see that they're someplace else and things are really very different than where they were. And then they begin to come out of that shell, and pretty soon their problems have disappeared too, and they're on their way. So it's not a hard thing for most of us to get through. It's a very simple thing. It's a kind of a kind and loving and supportive thing. It's not a hard thing. And you're not thrown up before a judge and told whether you know, going to heaven or hell. It doesn't work that way. You just calm down, you let that go, and then you go on. And this idea of going through a past life to see your immediate past life to kind of see where you need help and maybe where you should go next and that kind of thing. But you're never forced to do anything. If you say, no, I've had it, you know, that was enough for me, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, then you can go stand in a corner by yourself, or you can go, you know, take a nap. You can do whatever you want, and you can interact with other people, but you'll soon find that all those other people are on their way to do something, and you're just the one hanging around. So, you know, you don't have to do anything. This is not a forced program. You have to agree to do everything. You have free will, and nobody will force you. So that's kind of the way it works. The hard cases are the ones that come with a very strong obsession. They get stuck in their thoughts, or very strong fears. They get stuck in those fears and have a little harder time. But you know, eventually you kind of come around and look out in the world and see, oh, this is kind of a pleasant place. This is nice. You know, nobody's doing anything mean to me here. It's okay. And eventually you let go and go on. So that's kind of the nature of the place, and it's another virtual reality designed just for transitions. Now, you may, if you've done this enough times, you may have people that you do this with. So you may have several entities in which you incarnate together, and you have roles that will help each other meet the challenges, you know, find the challenges and meet the challenges that they have. Or you may be focused not so much just on what you're going to do, but you know, like I say, part of somebody else's plan, something that helps them do what they need to do. And if you have people that work good together, you know, it's sort of like teams. You'll run into people in life sometimes and you just work really good together. It's like you're good for each other in the sense that each one kind of pulls something better out of the other. Well, people get like that. Entities get that way to where they sometimes kind of form these little informal teams where they like to incarnate together because they just are good at helping each other and challenging each other. And so that kind of planning can go on. But like I say, that's more at the advanced end. And by advanced, I don't mean better, smarter, whatever. I just mean that you are at a different stage of your evolutionary process and you've been around it enough times that you don't obviously have to repeat the same thing every time. You get a little bit more able to choose and plan. In the beginning, you just need experience. You hop in, you hop out. It doesn't really matter where you go. You know, you just need experience, need choices. And that, that's a very quick turnaround at that point. So it could happen all sorts of ways, but this is the transition, it's kind of transition central where all this takes place. Now, you don't have to incarnate back to this, virtual reality. There are other virtual realities, and you can pick some other virtual reality.
All right, let's talk about that. Well, we have so much.
Past my time, didn't
That's okay.
I?
Oh, that's my, okay.
I told you I would do that. I'm only good for one shot.
We're going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Solar Friends with Tom Campbell. Check him out. Go to YouTube. Google his name. You can get his trilogy of books on Google Books. You can go to his website, mybigtoe.com, hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com. You are listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
New Sky Radio, newskyradio.com, and Psychic Radio, psychiconair.com, powered by CBS Radio, AOL, and Yahoo, is unlike any talk radio station, with a mission to improve the world one listener at a time. This is where you can be the star of your own show. Our listeners are truly unique, truly interactive, and passionate about their world. The Sky and Psychic Radio listeners genuinely care about the environment, social justice, their personal health, and raising people up to live their best life every day. Our motto is New Horizons, No Boundaries. New Age views, life coaching, psychic analysis, alternative medicine, and cutting-edge mind, body, and spirit shows can all be found on The Sky and Psychic Radio. Perhaps you have what it takes to join our broadcast family, an open mind, a great idea, and a passion for enriching lives. Check out all the exciting details by clicking the microphone on our homepage at newskyradio.com or give Lisa Rodman a call at 248-546-9600 to learn just how affordable it can be to host a show.
Let me be alone tonight.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tom Campbell. We've been talking about consciousness. We've been talking about the virtual reality that we go to when we pass this planet or pass this physical body that we're in. So obviously there are lots of people that are in a lot of fear, and depending on religions and everything else, I mean, it's no different than where they just left. They're just stuck in the same place, holding on to the same fears and the same things that they were plagued with in this life.
Yes, and they're greeted different ways. So if you are a very religious person and you have a lot of fear around your heaven and hell and death and all that sort of thing, then instead of being met by, you know, Aunt Susie and Uncle Fred, you may be met by St. Peter or, Mary or somebody that you relate to, more, you know, somebody who's more of a relaxer for you, you know, than Uncle Fred would be. So you're not necessarily always met by relatives. You know, it may be religious figures. And if you're really, really terrified and you know that you've been a bad boy and a bad girl all your life, you know, and you feel like you're doomed now, you may be met with a man with red skin and little horns on his head, you know, carrying a pitchfork. And you may have to deal with that, you see. So it's your fear, that's what I'm saying, has a lot to do. Your fear and your beliefs have a lot to do with the process that you go through. I'm kind of describing the plain vanilla process that, you know, that many of us go through, but there are others that are more dramatic and scarier, but they all work to the same end, and that is to just tell you that you're okay, you know, it's not so bad, you're doing fine, and everything will be all right. And in order to do that, they to help you unwind, they have a lot of kind of, you know, what should we say, kind of useless things for you to do. They can say, like, you need to matriculate in over there. See that line? Go over there and stand in line, and you'll get, everything will be fine, but you need to go through this process and matriculate in. And the people there, they'll have your records, and everything will be fine. So you go over and stand in line. Well, all that's doing is just giving you time to let go, to stand, you know, to kind of unwind and get used to the idea that you're really someplace else, and now you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do there. And to let go of the fear, because nothing bad is happening to you. You know, nobody's come out to grab you by the hair and drag you away or, you know, anything like that. So eventually you just kind of, oh, well, I guess it's going to be all right. And that's really what they're trying to achieve. So there's no real purpose of you standing in that line. And when you get to the head of the line, there may be somebody there, and they may talk to you, and they may send you to a different line, or they may have you go wait, because the person you need to see isn't here yet, and they'll be right back. And it's a lot of that kind of stuff just to give you unwind time and let you relax. So that's, you know, there's a lot of that kind of process happening. And you may, depending on your beliefs, you may see all sorts of things in color and magnificent people, you know, coming and going and, oh, you know, awesome things, because you feel like there ought to be awesome things here. You know, now you're dead, right? There ought to be some awesome things here. So there may be a few awesome things will track by in front of you. You know, it's whatever you need to make you feel okay,
right,
will happen to you. So it's a really wide range of things that might happen. I can kind of share one my own experiences where I was part of a group that was trying to help a person who died in an unfortunate accident at sea, and they were so obsessed with their own guilt, I guess, that they just couldn't get out of the experience. So they had taken their family out to a little cruise in the family boat or whatever. And the wife, I think, had said, "Don't you think a storm might be coming up? The horizon doesn't look quite right." And he said, "Oh, no, no, everything will be fine." And he got out there, and the storm came up. The boat got capsized, and And in the process, you know, everybody dies. And as he remembered it, you know, he was trying to get hold of his wife and his child and get them up on some flotsam, some of the wreckage, and hold them. And he was so guilt-ridden and so panicked, and it was such a big deal that he was still there.
Right.
You see, he'd been doing this. He was in that same storm, grasping for people, trying to find his family, that he couldn't get out of it. So he experienced that on and on and on. So in his mind, that was like an unending, never-ending storm. He was stuck in that thing because he couldn't let go of it. He was so obsessed with it.
Right.
And finally, the way we got him out of it was to join it. You had to get into his obsession with him. We came by in a boat in the water, you see, rather than trying to talk to him from outside that reality.
Right.
He wouldn't pay any attention. We had to get into his reality, come by with a boat, and tell him that we had already pulled his wife and children out of the water, and now this we had to get him and just come on and get in the boat here, and everything's going to be all right. And then he let go.
Huh.
You see, then everything was okay. And from there, the transition wasn't that hard. But that's, you know, an example of people who get so obsessed or wound up with something that they can't go on. They just live in that same situation until they can be popped out of it. You know, you create your own reality in a lot of ways. So that's an example. But if you are all wound up about religious stuff or heaven and hell or other sorts of things or getting vengeance, you know, with that person that put that poison in your coffee, you know, that sort of thing also can hold you back in the same way. So that's kind of what's going on there. And most of us go through it without a lot of trouble. Suicide victims are kind of a special case because they come in very traumatized. You know, life sucks. Everything's horrible, you know.
Right.
Everything, they have tiny little worldviews, and you kind of have to get a little crack in there. Again, you have to get into their mind where they are and try to open up their reality just enough that eventually they can look out and see that, oh, it's a whole new world here. You know, the sun's shining and everything is good. And eventually, just like the guy who let go of the struggle in the water, you know, to save his family, eventually they let go of all the pain and misery and unhappiness that they had, and it kind of floats away. But that's the process. Most people don't have that much trouble. Most people meet, you know, Uncle Fred and Aunt Susie and just go right on in, and everything works fine. And in no time, they've almost totally forgotten about what that past life was about and what they were doing and who they were. And before long, they're thinking about and planning for the next one.
And that's kind of the point, right? We're not to get caught up in this past, in the life that we've already passed, because we're not going to remember it when we move into the next one anyway. And so that's our way of being able to let go of things. It's almost planned that way, right?
It would have to be.
Yeah.
Think of it. You've had 10,000 lives.
Yeah.
You've had 10,000, you know, you've had, 10,000 lives. You had maybe 30,000 children that you love dearly. You know, you've had, you know, 8,000 or 9,000 husbands or wives. You know, if you kept all that emotional attachment to all of those people, it would be too much. You would be overwhelmed. So that's not functional.
Right. Yeah. I could see where that would be a problem.
Yeah. It would be a problem, yeah. But you keep everything important, which is the growth that you've attained.
Right.
That goes with you.
That's really all that matters.
Right.
Is whether you're moving towards love or you're getting caught up in fears.
Mm-hmm.
And how to work through those fears so that they're not your obsession.
That's right. And if you increase the quality of your consciousness, then that quality is yours to take into the next experience. And it's a cumulative process.
Wow. That is so fascinating. Okay, we're going to go to our last break. This one was kind of quick. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tom Campbell. Please check him out. Just Google his name, go to his YouTube, check out his books, go to his website, mybigtoe.com with hyphens in between, so my-big-toe.com. You're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax, take it easy. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to know. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. I was once like you are now, and I know that it's not easy to be calm when you found something going on. But take your time, think a lot. Why, think of everything you've got, for you will still be here tomorrow, but your dreams may not. How can I try to explain? When I do, he turns away again. It's always been the same, same old story. From the moment I could talk, I was ordered to listen. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go. It's not time to make a change. Just sit down, take it slowly. You're still young, that's your fault. There's so much you have to go through. Find a girl, settle down. If you want, you can marry. Look at me, I am old, but I'm happy. All the times that I've cried, keeping all the things I knew inside. It's hard, but it's harder to ignore it. If they were right, I'd agree, but it's them they know, not me. Now there's a way, and I know that I have to go away. I know I have to go.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We've been talking to Tom about the virtual reality that is our afterlife. Okay, so now that we've finally gotten to the place where we're all calm and I can certainly appreciate how there's lots of people that get stuck for probably quite a long time or whatever time is in that reality. But okay, so now we're at the planning stages. You know, are there things that are destined, things that we plan? Is it how does that, you know, we choose certain people? Do we choose all the people that we are born to? Like, how does that all work?
Well, when you're in this situation, it's almost like you're in a room with some counselors, and they've maybe shown you some of your past life experiences, and you've decided what maybe the problems are you need to work on, and everybody kind of agrees what you'd like to do, and maybe there's certain individuals you've agreed to do it with, and we kind of everyone has to agree with their free will. All right, this is what we want to do, or this is what I need, and at that point, the system finds a good place to meet that need. You know, it tries to give you what you ask for. So it produces a situation that, and you may ask for one particularly. You may say, well, I was born really poor. You know, the last time I was dirt poor, scraping all the time, and that's why I turned out so bad. You know, because I was so poor. That was it. You know, if I had some resources, oh, I would have gone to college. I would have been really a good person. You see, but I was so poor, and that made me rowdy and, you know, made me desperate. So the next time you might say, you know, I'd like to try, you know, well-to-do and see if that doesn't solve my problems. Of course, the counselors there will say, that's not going to solve your problem. You go, oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And they may just do it and say, all right, you know, this will be your lesson. You know, we'll do that and see how it works out. So then you may be born into a family with a lot of wealth, and you may get that, and you will find out, of course, that doesn't solve your problem at all. You know, that wasn't your problem. But in any case, so that kind of planning goes on, and so certain situations are picked. In that case, a situation would be to have you born into a family that had resources, so that you would have resources. And that would, your lesson would be to find out that that really doesn't help much as far as your growth. So that's what happens there. So you do that. The system tries to meet your needs, picks out the situation, and the next thing you know, somebody's smacking you on the butt and you're crying, and here it go, you know, here you go again, right? Except you don't remember any of that stuff. And as we said, you can't, you know, remembering all of the past acquaintances and you know, loved ones in your life and so on would become such a burden over thousands and thousands of lifetimes that it's just not practical. Besides that, you don't want to put all that kind of stuff in your intellect. It's not about the intellect. It's about you at the being level. That's where your growth has to be, is you at the being level. And at the being level, none of that past stuff matters. That's not important. And you do get to take with you what you earn. So that's what does matter. So there's the planning, and then it just happens, and you start again with the potential that you've earned, with that quality that you've earned. And you then start to make choices again. You have all these choices to make, and what happens, happens. So the plans don't always work out the way they were planned because, you know, you change your mind. You have free will. You don't have to abide by the plan. You can go your own way. And sometimes plans work because there's a lot of nudging all along by the system to help you get the plan lined up. And other times the plan just falls apart because you go off on your own way with your free will, or the other person that you were planning to do things with does. And then you just have an experience. But the point is, it doesn't really matter exactly what your experience is. Any experience will give you ample opportunities to grow up, to become love, to raise the quality of your consciousness. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're dirt poor or filthy rich or beautiful or ugly or whatever, you know, have only one leg that works, or, you know, all these things, you know, born in a third world country full of, you know, disease and poverty. There's opportunity everywhere to learn, to give, to care, and to become love. So that's the point. The point isn't to be comfortable and happy and, have a nice, comfy life. That's not the point. The point is to grow up, to learn. So you can do that anywhere. So in a way, it doesn't matter that much. Anything, even if your plan goes wrong, you still are in a great set of, you still have a great set of opportunities to grow up no matter what happens to you. And you're in the basket now with a lot of, you're in this virtual reality with over 7 billion other people. And you're all your free will choices are banging into each other, right? They're all interacting. And what comes out of that big mishmash of interacting people is what we experience.
Right. And because it's with 7 billion different people, the things that we may have planned may not exactly turn out the way we wanted or even happen at all.
Yes.
Yeah. But it often feels like you have certain set points in your life where if you didn't get to where you needed to go, something was going to be created to kind of remind you that this is the way you're wanting to go.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, I had some things way out. When I was 14 years old, I was told about the lady who would become, you know, the one for me and so on. And, you know, she was only 2 years old at the time. You know, and it's like, oh, no, you know. I mean, what could be worse than that when you're a 14-year-old boy and find out that, you know, the love of your life is 2 years old? So, but sure enough, you know, right on time. It just, you know, just when it was, you know, just when it was predicted, the whole thing just rolled right out the way it was supposed to happen. And how does something plan that far ahead? Well, there were a lot of nudges. You know, we didn't even live in the same state. So got a lot of nudges that just bump me to be in the right place at the right time. And I'm pretty intuitive. So when I get nudged hard enough, you know, I go. And so it worked out. So
aww,
some plans are kind of amazing how they work out. And others, you know, just fall apart at the seams.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Well, and of course, it's all about the love. So it's all about us using free will to evolve our consciousness towards
Yeah. And you can see why it's a much better idea to spend your time and energy focusing on and making good choices than it is to worry about what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, how the future, you know, what's the future going to give to you? Trying to manipulate that front end. We've talked about that before. Manipulating that front end to be the way you want it is pretty irrelevant. Things will happen, and when they happen, you will have choices relative to those happenings, and the quality of those choices is what's important. So, what happens, happens. I mean, you can still plan, and you know, it's not like you have to say, somebody will pay my mortgage or they won't. You know, I don't really care. You know, you have to plan, yes, but you don't have to manipulate everything to be the way you want it. That's really counterproductive. Just focus on what you're here for, which is to make good choices that help you grow toward becoming love.
Yay. All right. Yeah. Perfect place to end. I realize that our next show was going to be scheduled for the day after Thanksgiving. So if we can, if you look at your schedule, Tom, and let me know if we could do it on the 22nd, since there's five Fridays next month. So November 22nd, hopefully that will be our next show.
Calendar.
Okay, and you've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. Check Tom out. Google his name, Thomas Campbell, physicist. You'll get all of his information. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.